Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Indian Fever, it's catching fire with everyone.
Sports Fix Universe, support your boy J-Rock. Show some pride for the 216. Pick up a brand new J-Rock Daddy t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Just go to ProWrestlingTees.com/J-Rock, J-R-O-C-C, and pick up a brand new t-shirt today. Show some love, support the 216, and give it up one time for J-Rock on ProWrestlingTees.com.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
Hey guys, J-Rock here from The Sports Fix, and we always talk about using our platform to try to help the world and the society we live in, and everywhere I go and everywhere we go, bullying is one of the problems in today's society. There's nothing worse than any person, big or small, strong or weak, adult or child, feeling picked on, pushed around, vulnerable, and victimized at the hands of a bully. Change comes one person at a time, and my good friends at No Such Thing as a Bully are working on skills and techniques and ways that we can all change and make things better for everyone. Find out more at NoSuchThingAsABully.com.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. Catch every UFC pay-per-view live in full HD at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
And away we go. Off and running and back in the studio. After a couple of weeks absence, we are back at it. Locked and loaded, baby. The Sports Fix. The mothership, if you will. Off and running. And boy, talk about off and running. How about them Cleveland Indians, baby? I mean, well, you know, we've talked about this since, the beginning of spring training. It was a season, as we've talked about. So much about this Cleveland Indians season has been unbelievably special. And you feel it, and you felt the momentum building at the end of the season. And then here come the Red Sox. A lot of people said, hey, maybe this is where the train ends. The Indians, man, it's amazing that, you know, Michael Brantley at the beginning of the season, Yan Gomes goes down, and this issue and that issue, and guys, you know, you lose El Monte for half the season. Not that he was a huge piece, but he triggered a series of events that brings Tyler Naquin into the fold, and they trade for Coco Crisp, and those guys both come up big when you get to the Red Sox in the playoffs, and guys like the little cowboy, Josh Tomlin, able to lean on him in crunch time when you lose a couple of your key starters. The strength of this Indians team was the pitching, and the pitching took a hit, and it took another hit, and then Corey Kluber took a little rocking there at the end of the season. Quads stiffens up on him. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, the wheels are falling off for the Indians, and the plucky little Indians came this far, and then now this is maybe as far as they can go. Hell with that. The Indians continue to prove the doubters and the naysayers wrong. They continue to come out here and play fantastic baseball, and as we've said all season long, guys, they've got the recipe to win in October. They've got good to extremely great starting pitching. It doesn't fall off much from there. They've got a killer, killer, killer bullpen. I mean, Andrew Miller is just able to be. He's the piece that you can fit in anywhere, any situation, and you saw it in the three-game sweep of the Boston Red Sox. I mean, Terry Francona played every game to win that game now, and that's the way you do it in the playoffs. You don't think ahead. You don't worry about, well, if this doesn't work out, what do we do in game four? What do we do in game five? You do what you got to do to win the game that's in front of you. And you got a piece like Andrew Miller who will play anywhere, fill any spot, shut down whatever you need shut down, and you bridge that bullpen and that starting pitching together. Even when Cody Allen scares you, and even when Brian Shaw scares you, at the end of the day, the Indians have a killer bullpen, and the offense has continued to be. I mean, who would have thought that they would just outslug the Red Sox the way they did? And I mean, that series was great playoff baseball. Each game of that series, I mean, there was back and forth swings. It felt like everything was so monumental at the time. And you had the Big Poppy retirement looming over top, and they were the sentimental favorites. And the Indians steamrolled. They said, damn that. They steamrolled over all that. Like Forrest Gump would say, thank you for inviting me to your Big Poppy party. But the Indians took care of business and turned it into an Indians party. They swept the Sox out of the way. The Rangers, who everybody thought was the other big power team, is now out of the way as well. And here come the Tribe and the wild card Toronto Blue Jays. And I'll tell you, Toronto's got some pieces that scare you, obviously. This is going to be a hell of a series. But the Indians, because of that, now have the home field. Once again, they had it for the first series. They're going to have it again for the ALCS. This time, a return trip to the World Series on the line for the Indians. First time in a long time. 1997 seems so long ago. But this Indians team, and I've said it, you guys know, I'm going to have Dan Wismar on in just a minute. We'll get to the intros. We're going to crack the phone lines, just kind of waxing nostalgic for a minute. But what have I said all along? That I felt that this team reminded me of those early 90s Indians teams, that or mid-90s, the 95. I know that they had that prolific offense. And this team has better, much better pitching than that team had. But there was, it was the intangible. It was the ninth inning magic. It was the progressive, well, Jacobs Field magic. It was the horns beeping in the middle of the night. That whole atmosphere that it created, that just, no matter what, that team could win. Didn't matter what the score was, what the inning was. Doesn't matter what the situation was. The team could find a way to win, and most times did. And this team has had that feeling to me all season long. I mean, you can feel it building, the confidence in each other. This team, the whole, is so much more than the individual parts. And I'm telling you, they're going to be playing deep into this thing, because I believe that this is going to end the way I predicted it in the spring training. I don't get them all right, but I said the Tribe was going to win it all this year, and I feel that it is definite. Excuse me, definitely coming down. Phone lines are already ringing. I'm guessing a couple of you already feel the same way. We're going to get to the phone. Sit tight. I'm going to throw you in the queue. We're going to get to them in just a minute. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a ton more about the Tribe. Let's get rocking and rolling with the show. Get this ship into shore, baby. Welcome into the Sports Fix. I am your host, the Big Daddy of Destruction, J-Rock Daddy. They call me all kinds of things here. They call me the Big Daddy on the microphone. Call me. Happy to have you with me here each and every time we crack the mic live across the Sports Fix Radio Network. Whether you're listening live on TuneIn, TuneIn's radio app worldwide, on Spreaker, on Mixler, and their respective digital and mobile apps, however you're enjoying the show, maybe you're listening live on our home base, thesportsfix.net. Your one-stop shop for all things Sports Fix. Make sure you visit it, by the way. Not only does the show stream live, all the podcasts and all of the previous broadcasts are there, but all of our sponsor banners are there. Everybody that helps make this possible, make this happen free of charge every time we do it. Check it out. Bookmark it today. TheSportsFix.net. As I knock things over here on my desk, I got to thank everybody as well. There are thousands of you guys around the world who enjoy the show each and every time we do this on digital delay 24/7. And I say around the world, I mean around the freaking world, my friends. On sites like iHeartRadio, the world's largest internet radio provider, on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on CarPlay, SoundCloud, all of the places that you guys, so many more of those podcast sites, it's too many to even list. Thank you guys for downloading, feeding, subscribing, however you guys do the thing and get your fix. Thank you so much for doing just that. As I said, I am the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock, Jerry Myers, and you guys are the voice of the Sports Fix. Phones are already ringing, so pick up the phone and give us a call. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535 is the number to call. Hit us up, not just live, if you're listening on delay. So many of you guys listen on the podcast, on the digital delay. Leave your take. What's going to happen on the Indians in the ALCS, this Blue Jays series? The Browns in the midst of one of the most embarrassing Brown seasons. I mean, really, it just keeps getting worse. We'll talk a little bit about them. Buckeyes, whatever you want to holler at us about, the Cavs and the Monsters getting ready to defend some championships, baby. Hit us up on the phone lines, day or night. We'll play your take on the hotline, 216 216- 539-7535. 216-539-7535. Can't get through, or perhaps you're like so many that listen on your digital device, you can't call. So hit us up on social media, facebook.com/thesportsfix, or you can find me on Facebook personally, J-Rock or Jerry Myers. Find me. Become my friend. I'll be your friend, baby. Facebook.com/thesportsfix. Like the page. Join the nearly 25,000 fans who follow us there. Tweet with us at thesportsfixCLE. Email us, thesportsfix@AOL.com. And of course, me personally, you can tweet and Instagram me at JRockDaddy, JROCCDADDY. Facebook.com/thesportsfix. Twitter at thesportsfixCLE. Email thesportsfix@AOL.com. I could go on and on here talking about the Tribe, how they've just pulled this thing together. I mean, again, that Boston series was just a thing of beauty. And every move that Terry Francona made, and how ironically apropos that it happens against the team that did, you know, even though he had a great time there, the way out wasn't exactly the greatest time, if you know what happened as Terry was on his way out of there. Had to be super sweet to beat them. But it was not just that. I mean, he had the Midas touch in this series. Whatever moves the Indians made were the correct moves to make. Matter of fact, you know, I won't even throw him under the bus, but there was one of our listeners on Facebook who commented on, I believe it was the Game 2 lineup when they put Chisenhall in there. And his comment was literally, Chisenhall just shows they don't know what they're doing. Why wouldn't they put Coco in? And that was the day that Chisenhall had the big knock and got things going for him. And it just, it goes to show you that everybody's a know-it-all. But the guy that's out there that's actually paid to know-it-all, the manager, Terry Francona, made all the right moves. I mean, what, any of them go wrong, and he's getting second-guessed to death. You know that. Like, Miller, not, you know, had they not swept, you know they're going to hear about it, because probably Miller and Allen would not have been available for Game 4. So you would have had him say, oh, well, Terry overused the bullpen trying to get the big one early, and then he left him vulnerable later. But none of that happened. But those are all risky moves when you make them. Whatever it is, deciding who's in the lineup, who's coming in later, who you're saving for a pinch hitter, all of those things, where you play Miller, where you, all of these things, how the rotation lines up, every one of them came up aces for the Indians in that series and set themselves up as they sit right here now with the chance to control their destiny as far as home field advantage and the ALCS upcoming against the Toronto Blue Jays. As a matter of fact, we'll talk some more about that in just a minute. Hey, how fitting. Another Cleveland team having to go through the team in Toronto on their way to a championship. We'll see if the Indians can follow in the Cavaliers' path. We're going to take it to you guys and see what you think. I'm going to the phones, 216-539-7535, the number to call. Dan Wismar joins us in 15 minutes after the news, but right now you join us next on the Sports Fix. Caller, who's this?
Hey, good morning, J-Rock.
Hey, good morning, Bruce. What's up, my man?
First, I'd like to talk a little Tribe.
I would hope so. What's up, man?
I don't know. Is this like one heck of a ride or what? You know,
absolutely.
I mean,
just fantastic time and fantastic baseball that we're watching too. I mean, those three playoff games were just scintillating as far as the drama, and then, you know, obviously Game 3, the Indians kind of took care of business, but those first two especially were bam, bam, bam.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that, except for I'm old, and drama is not one of the things I look forward to. You know, I kind of like to take it easy in my old age. But, no, those were excellent games, no doubt about it. Those are playoff caliber games at their best.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it had a sad ending with Big Poppy having to go, but, you know, if anybody's going to send him on the road, I'm glad it was us.
I'm not,
you know,
crying. I'm sorry, Bruce. I'm not crying,
yeah,
my friend.
No, I mean, you know, all tears aside, you know, I mean, it's good to see him going. But, as far as making the moves, you know, I've never second-guessed Tito, you know, as far as I believe in Tito.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the people that, you know, you get the same Facebook people that I get, basically, and, you know, why is Chisenhall in there? Why isn't Guyer starting against a left-hander? You know, the different things, like why isn't Miller the closer? You know, I mean, come on. If you don't establish the game in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning, there's no sense having a closer where,
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely,
you're waiting goal.
What is it? Here's the thing, though, and I've made this argument for years to people. Why does a save have to be the last three outs of the game? Because to me, if a guy comes in the sixth inning with the bases loaded and no outs, and he gets out of that with his team maintaining the lead, and then he pitches the seventh inning and comes out, somebody else closes out the last six outs of the game. To me, it was that cat that pitched the sixth and seventh inning that got the save, because he truly saved that game. I've often wondered why it has to be just the guy who closes it out specifically, because to me, obviously it's too subjective to leave it up to that for the stats, but that's truly the guy who closes it. And to me, if you bring Miller in the fifth with guys on and Bauer's gassing out and he takes care of business for two innings, that's as good as bringing him in the ninth and getting three outs to me.
Exactly, and that's why Major League Baseball went to this hold or whatever it is, you know.
Right, the hold stat is the guy that comes in before the closer that holds the game for him to save it, right?
Right. No, and the people, even the people that were wanting to shog on, my hands in the air.
Hey, I was, me and Dan were both on that boat too.
So, you know, I mean, it's just been an incredible ride.
And it's amazing when you look at how it started. You know, you lose Michael Brantley right away. He's number three in the entire league MVP voting last year, and you don't miss a beat. Gomes goes out. But look at the – and I talk about the fortune. Look at how you lose Gomes. He comes back, breaks his hand coming back, still able to play, hits the home run on his first at-bat back. I guarantee you, he'll play a piece in what they're doing. And then how about the catchers, by the way? For all the – how maligned the Tribe's catchers have been, they're, you know, batting a .190 and a .170 and a .140 or whatever they're all batting or whatever. But they've come through. They've come through in the playoffs too.
Yeah, Perez has been huge.
Perez,
you know,
has been great, absolutely.
I mean, not only with clutch hitting, but he's been excellent behind the plate.
And defensively, like, that was just what I was going to say. How about game one? That how huge loomed that outfield assist where they gunned him out at the plate. If he doesn't make the absolute perfect tag a split second before the bases touch, that run scores, and you start the momentum a little more for Boston. Instead, that snuffed out all the momentum and ended what could have been a big inning.
How about when he picked up the ball and tagged the runner and Terry swallowed his tobacco, you know? I mean, he's hazardous to our manager's health, you know?
Absolutely.
He said, I'm glad he got that out because I would have been sick, you know? But, it's not only the way they're playing on the field. It's the attitude throughout, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, let's give credit where credit's due. I mean, Napoli has been a big part of this team. He's slumping right now, but, you know, he's just been Napoli, you know, but he's held that clubhouse together. And the moves that Antonelli has made this year are unreal. You know, I mean, who ever heard of Brandon Guyer?
I agree.
You know?
I mean, he turned out to be exactly the situational piece that the Indians needed coming down the stretch.
And bringing Coco Crisp back was just genius.
You know, now that one is one that I was all about. Like, I said, you know, Guyer is a piece, and that we'll see, you know. But the platoon made sense the way he hit from the left side. And then same with Coco. Some people were like, oh, I don't get it. And I'm like, man, I do. Coco Crisp can play in the playoffs. He's got playoff experience, you know. And again, if I said it earlier, if Almonte doesn't screw up, then maybe Naquin doesn't get his shot. Maybe Crisp never gets traded for. So look at how the right things happen at the right time. And that's why I think this is a team of destiny.
And even Almonte, before, you know, he wasn't allowed to play.
Right, Babraham.
He had some great hits, you know.
Well, but we know why, too.
Big times.
Yeah, unfortunately, we know why, too. But
that's supposedly behind him now.
He was tipping the sauce a little bit. But, no, I'm with you. Even when he came back, absolutely, absolutely. I'm having fun with that.
But, making the move to move Ramirez to third base, you know, that was, you know, sheared up the defense.
And I mean, like, what can you say?
Somebody was saying yesterday, does anybody even remember, you know, Ushella? You know?
I mean,
so,
what can you say, period, about Ramirez, you know?
Oh, you say enough about the guy. I mean, he doesn't speak a lick of English, but, you know, he can see the ball. That's all that matters.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know?
I mean, he really.
He's not talking to it.
If you were going to pick, Bruce, one person to replace or step into Michael Brantley's shoes, I'm pretty sure Jose Ramirez would not have been the name many people would have guessed.
No. People
but
wouldn't have thought about a bench player, sure. You know, an everyday player, I don't think anybody would have even thought that.
I'm going to ask Dan when he joins us here in a few minutes, but I'm curious, and I know the voting is, like, you know, before the playoffs and all of that stuff. But I'm very curious. Where do you think, Bruce, does Ramirez get some MVP votes? Because I think he does. I think he does.
I think he gets a few. I don't think he's going to be third like Brantley was, but,
you know, I'm sure
he'll get a couple of votes.
I think, okay, maybe not third, but it wouldn't be like a crime to me if he did finish that high, because Michael Brantley finished that high with a similar season with a less successful team. I mean, Jose Ramirez made so many, not just did he play well, but it was all clutch. It was all key. He was there. I mean, without him, this Indians team is not in the playoffs, I think. I mean, that would.
Can't disagree with you at all, man. I hate to say that because they are a team. With runners in third position with two outs.
Right. I mean, they're a whole team, so I hate to say that. Like, I'm not trying to say maybe they would have still made the playoffs without him, but he was so big in so many ways, so key, that I don't think so. He was the heart of this team all season long.
Okay,
Bruce, while I got you on the phone, and while everybody out there is listening, I don't toot my horn a whole lot, but I definitely enjoy watching Carlos Santana play leadoff, because I fought with so many of you people out there. I thought that was a genius idea. Everybody thought I was stupid a year ago when I said, man, I'm telling you, this guy can be a hell of a leadoff hitter, especially if you build the right lineup around him. And as I'm listening to announcers more famous than myself say what a good move it was to make him a leadoff hitter in certain situations, I said, yes, I would say that was a good idea. I do. I've always thought, with his eye for the ball, if you got the right guys around him, he's a leadoff hitter. He's a pudgy, slow leadoff hitter, but he's a leadoff hitter, man.
Okay, and even take it one step further, he's still got 100 walks this year.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And you got the right lineup around him. Once you get past the first at-bat of the game, you know, you start coming around 7, 8, 9 again, and then you got Carlos Santana almost sitting in another cleanup spot there. I mean, that's the thing. We've talked about it, Bruce, all season. The depth of this Indians lineup, there's a different challenge with every batter that comes up to where – and they all are those professional hitters that will put up long at-bats. Well, some guys will chase, but Napoli will strike out a ton. But most of these guys will take long at-bats, and they'll work pitchers, and they'll really make guys work, and then they make them pay when they make a mistake. It's such a smart offensive lineup. They're smart players.
Okay, now even going one step further than that, I mean,
a leadoff hitter is
strictly overrated because you only lead off once.
I agree.
You know, you lead off the game. Other than that, you fall in the order wherever you fall in. You know, your ninth man could be a leadoff hitter in one inning.
All right, Bruce, 30 seconds. Blue Jays coming up. Blue Jays, what do you got to say?
Oh, I got the Tribe. I definitely have the Tribe in six. I think it'll go six.
All right. What's the toughest thing about Toronto?
The hitting.
That lineup's going to be
tough.
The pitching
doesn't bother me at all. It's the order that scares the hell out of you.
Yeah,
they have so many little pieces that add up to like four or five big ones.
And a couple of big ones, too. So,
I mean, with Boston, you had a tough lineup because you had all these scrappy little hitters that occasionally hit a home run. You know, other than Ortiz.
Toronto, you got a lot of hitters, you know. They all hit it.
Toronto, everybody in the lineup can hit a home run from one through nine.
I agree.
So, I mean, you can, you know, pitch around one guy and the next guy's going to kill you.
I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Bruce, my friend, great call.
All right, thank you.
You got it. My man, Bruce, you guys keep calling in on the hotline, 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. We're going to take a break, get you some news. When we come back on the other side, don't go anywhere. Dan Wismar joins us, sports writer extraordinaire. We're going to talk some more Tribe. Look ahead to the Blue Jays. We'll talk Buckeyes and a little bit of Browns as well. Who knows where we're going, but it's a lot of fun when Dan Wismar joins us. After the news, next, here on the Sports Fix.
Everyone, Indian Fever, you can be part of the fun. You're the winner at every game, that's where the excitement begins. So catch Indian Fever,
be a believer
with the Cleveland Indians.
The Sports Fix, the show that asks the question,
what you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about?
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, before we go to the break, I want to talk to you a little bit again about our good friends at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championships, some of the hottest fights in the world today. Each and every one of their huge events, Harry Buffalo is one of the few places in Northeast Ohio you can go there and watch each and every UFC fight at the Harry Buffalo. And let me tell you, I've been there. The people are out the door. They are to the rafters. It is one of the craziest environments for some UFC fights. Wing Mondays, they've got great deals on wings and drinks. And every day of the week, there's a different special, a different deal. And don't forget the Bison Burger, the unbelievable. It is the combination of a fantastic burger and eating healthy combined into one unbelievable sandwich. You have got to get a Bison Burger while you're there. So whatever you're looking for, whatever day of the week, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sundays, there's something for you at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, just outside Great Northern Mall. Check them out today. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Fantasy sports lovers, you put so much time, hard work, and effort into playing week to week that it quickly stops being a fantasy and starts getting real. Real time spent making real decisions, creating real victory.
I'm the greatest man in the world!
And when the smoke clears, you want to show off those victories with a real prize.
I mean, a really real prize.
Yeah.
Nobody does that like Fantasy Jocks. The crew over at Fantasy Jocks have beautiful, high-quality, and heavy-duty championship belts, rings, trophies, and so much more for all your fantasy sports needs.
The trophy's 12 feet high, and it is glorious!
Football, baseball, hoops, you name it, they have it. Plus, they have awesome draft kits and party supplies to make all your preseason activities the envy of everyone. If your league needs a ring, belt, or trophy, or you want to upgrade what you already have, there's literally only one place to go. If you're going to be a fantasy jock, do it right.
It's mine, the most magnificent belt ever created, and it's mine.
With America's Fantasy Sports Superstore, FantasyJocks.com. No football? No problem at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. The excitement never stops. Every day of the week brings a different set of food and amazing drink specials.
And now...
fans, Harry Buffalo North Olmsted is the home for every UFC pay-per-view live on the big screens.
Let's get it all!
And let's not forget their mouth-watering trademark, the Bison Burger.
They sure are good.
Nobody does bison like Harry Buffalo. The perfect combination of healthy and delicious.
Hey there, eat up, y'all. Youth is good church-going folk. Y'all deserve a little treat.
What are you waiting for? Get to Harry Buffalo, just outside Great Northern Mall today. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
Join the herd.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Fantasy Jocks. Visit FantasyJocks.com, your fantasy sports superstore. Championship belts, rings, trophies, and more.
News break.
I'm Jay Reynolds. A night ago, we saw blown saves from both the Giants and the Cubs, but that was then. Game 3. Game 4, another blown save from the Giants bullpen, but this was a combined effort. We would not see another blown save, though, from the Cubs. Aroldis Chapman closes it out with a 13-pitch ninth inning. 10 of those 13 pitches were strikes. All 13 were in triple digits.
The set, the pitch, and a swing and a miss. He got him. Aroldis Chapman strikes out the side in the ninth, and the Chicago Cubs are moving on to the National League Championship Series as the celebration begins on the infield. Chapman blows the Giants away, and for the Giants, such a devastating way to lose a game and see your season come to an end.
Dan Shulman called it here on ESPN Radio. The Giants had the lead going to the ninth inning, a 3-run lead, but they pulled their starter, Matt Moore, who had gone 8 impressive innings. The bullpen combines to give up 4 runs in the top of the ninth. Cubs win 6-5. They take the series in 4. They're on to the NLCS. Their opponent, we will know that on Thursday. Dodgers and Nationals will play a winner-take-all game 5. Dodgers stumbled late, but they right the ship and pull out a 6-5 victory in Game 4. That series is tied at 2. Game 5 Thursday. It's here on ESPN Radio. Nationals right-hander Steven Strasburg, meanwhile, throwing a bullpen session, but he shut it down early. He was feeling discomfort in his arm. Toronto announcing they'll go with right-hander Marco Estrada for Game 1 of the ALCS. That's Friday, of course, here on ESPN Radio. Football, the Niners are making a change at quarterback. Blaine Gabbert started the first 5, but he's out. Colin Kaepernick gets the start for Sunday's game in Buffalo. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says an MRI on Tony Romo shows the compression fracture in Romo's back has healed. Eagles lineman Lane Johnson has his 10-game doping suspension upheld. Out-of-work lineman Greg Hardy tells MMAfighting.com he's going to give MMA a try.
Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, and the Bengals look to get back in the win column as they face Tom Brady and the 4-1 Patriots in his first home game back at Gillette Stadium. Bengals, Patriots, Sunday at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Josh Tom of the Cleveland Indians, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix live. J-Rock with you. I chuckle at the end of the news as they talk about Tom Brady and his first trip back to the jungle there with the Bengals. His first trip back this season. Yeah, we saw it up close. Oh, man, that was... I got to tell you, you know, I'm not even going to get into it a lot. Dan Wismar is going to be with me here in just a second. And after we talk about the Indians, the Cavs, the Buckeyes, we'll squeeze in these brownies. But I gotta say this, I was out of town this past weekend and watched the game in some unfriendly confines, and you know, it's always interesting, you know, to watch what non-Browns fans say about the Browns. Hell, these days it's interesting to listen to what Browns fans say about the Browns. But it was embarrassing watching the game and listening to people talk about, man, I thought Cleveland had great... I had somebody look at me and say, man, I thought Cleveland had great fans. They're out here cheering for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots at home. That's bad. And I'm like, I know. What can I say? What can I say at that point? Because it's on the TV and it's... It is what it is, and I mean, hey, that was an awful game. And 5 quarterbacks down now. We got Hulk, they need Hulk Hogan to come off the practice squad. Instead, they got Kevin Hogan. If it was Hulk Hogan, he might rip off the T-shirt and give him a chance. But Clipboard Jesus has already been tossed to the side. He won't get his name added to the jersey. But the Browns did set some interesting history as they're the first team since 1968. And ironically, the quarterback's coach on that team was Sam Ratigliano. But the 1968 Denver Broncos, Browns are the first awful team since then to have 5 quarterbacks have at least 5 snaps in the first 5 games of the season. It's that bad. And it's going to be 6 and 7 probably soon. They may set a record for quarterbacks played. You know why? Because they didn't spend any money on this offensive line. And the worst part, I'll talk to Dan about that in a minute. The worst part is watching the red zone and you watch the Falcons games and all they talk about is how adding Alex Mack was the greatest thing the Falcons could have done. It revived the whole offense. He's the greatest captain of the offensive line, whatever. Meanwhile, we've got a Chinese fire drill every time we snap the ball. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you here. I've already spent too much time talking about the Browns, but I'm going to get joined now by my man Dan Wismar, sports writer extraordinaire. We're going to talk about the Indians, Browns, Cavs, Buckeyes, all of that. Let's go to the phones. You guys can keep the conversation rolling. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Twitter at TheSportsFix. CLE. Email TheSportsFix@AOL.com. Can't use the phones because that's where this man is. Dan Wismar, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great, J-Rod. Good to be with you. Been too long since we talked.
It has been way too long. I wasn't sure if we were going to get this thing off the ground today, but I do think I've got things back in track, so we're rocking and rolling. Unlike the Browns, I mean, you were there. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm out of town and literally had somebody look at me and go, man, I thought Cleveland had great fans. Like, what are you supposed to say? But what are the fans supposed to do with the product that they're being dished out right now?
Well, first of all, Jerry, you know, this was the worst visiting invasion that I've seen in 18 years down there. You know, usually you get a bunch of Steeler people in there on Pittsburgh
Bengals
Day, but
yeah,
a lot of Browns fans sold their tickets on StubHub. The guys were sitting right next to me. Our section, I would say, was probably 40% Patriots fans. Brady jerseys everywhere. This was not Browns fans rooting for the Patriots.
No, Patriots fans.
Who spent $200 on StubHub per ticket. The guys next to me spent $250 per ticket to sit where they were sitting. And, you know, we didn't have a whole lot to say about it, obviously, because they were kicking our butt.
Right. I mean, and that was just this, you know, at least some of the earlier games were competitive. That one the other day was just ugly, which you knew. I mean, come on. The Patriots are one of the best teams in the history of the NFL. They absolutely dismantled the myth of the Browns rushing attack, which, by the way, that was such a myth. They went into that game with the leading rushing attack, and I'm like, man, they've had like three long runs. And other than that, this is a really skewed statistic. And Coach Belichick said, let's just go ahead and make sure that they don't think they have a rushing attack anymore. But the offensive line is just letting these guys get drilled. I mean, They're gonna go through a record number of quarterbacks this season, Dan. You have to know that. You can't patch Josh McCown up forever. I mean, he'll break again, and Kessler's gonna get broken again, and they're gonna continue to go. Like I said, they need Hulk Hogan on the practice squad, not Kevin Hogan.
Well, you know, first of all, let's remember that. First of all, RG3 was not injured by a breakdown in the offensive line.
No, that was a shot he took
at the sidelines. And the rushing attack has been better than anyone had any expectation it would be. You know, these guys, 1 and 2, go into that game at yards per rush in the NFL. So it's not a complete mirage. They have been focusing on rushing the football and doing a reasonably good job of it. Crowell is off to a really good start. But, yeah, you're right. The offensive line has been you know, I thought the first drive Sunday against the Patriots, Kessler got pretty good protection. You know, it did break down after that. And Pastor at right tackle, kind of a revolving door. I mean, let's face it, he's been getting his ass beat. You know, you need to address that situation. Understand that they signed an offensive lineman. I saw that Jake Long, by the way, got signed by somebody off the scrap heap this week. I wondered why we didn't make a move in that direction.
Yeah, but they signed a kid out of Harvard, Fabiano.
Right.
Jake Long. Yeah, no.
Right. Pastor's a weak link over there at right tackle. You got to believe that sooner or later they may try Drango or one of their kids over there, or even Bailey, the guy who was supposed to be their starter coming into camp this year. Who knows what became of him, but he's been subbing in at guard when we've had some injuries there. But
he went and took his way out for his own reasons, but I mentioned I've watched the last couple of Falcons games, you know, and their offense is really just completely gotten back to where it was a couple of seasons ago. You know, last season they were really awful, and I'm telling you, there's instances in every game where they just can't stop singing the praises of Alex Mack and what he's brought to that offensive line. And I laugh at the people that say, oh, well, you can't spend money on a center. You can't spend money on an offensive lineman. And I say, ask the Atlanta Falcons, because it repaired their entire offense now.
Right. And you know, we're at the point as a franchise where, you know, whether it's T.J. Ward or Alex Mack or Mitchell Schwartz, when you've done your 4 years in Cleveland and you feel like no good intentions on the front office in the world is going to keep a guy here that doesn't want to be here anymore.
Absolutely.
So,
here's my thing, though, is I'm all about the strip down. We talked about this. I'm all about building with all these young guys, and that's fine. But how do you evaluate? To me, the one place you don't strip down is the offensive line, because how do you evaluate quarterbacks if you can't keep them alive, you know?
Yeah, this is true, and I've got to believe that the Browns made some effort to re-sign Mack and Schwartz. Mack and Schwartz decided they were going to go, and they went, and Sashi is left holding the bag. They obviously need to address it in the draft, and they've got a lot of holes on this team, but if I'm picking with two firsts and two seconds next year, obviously we'll debate till the cows come home about whether one of those picks should be a quarterback, and I'm sure probably will, but
yes.
I'm thinking offensive tackle, safety, cornerback.
Definitely.
I'd love to see a Jabril Peppers or somebody like that come to town, and they desperately need defensive backfield help, corner and safety, and obviously offensive tackle, because not only is your right tackle a revolving door, but your left tackle isn't getting any younger.
Absolutely. I mean, all of that is known. It stinks because you want to evaluate, Kessler. You want to see what they can do, here's the tricky thing, and it would have played out the same. Don't get me wrong. The score would have probably been exactly the same, but that first scoring drive there was decent. Kessler was really in stride with the offense. And what was he, six or seven or something like that on that drive? And it moved the ball well. And then he goes out and all hell breaks loose from there. But it made you wonder how that offense would have looked. And as a great defense like New England kept throwing different looks at him, I'm sure it would have played out the same way. But there is some hope. I mean, what do you think? I don't want to spend any more time on the Browns after this, but the little bit I've seen of Cody Kessler, he's shown me that he can at least be a good backup quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's got the arm strength to be the guy yet,
Yeah, I would agree with that. And in a bigger picture, and just one comment about the Browns, and we'll get off of it. This team is different. This team under Hugh Jackson is different. And the best example of that I can point to, I was trying to think, Jerry, of the last time, and I'm talking about not this past game, but the week before, when they were down 14-0. To the Redskins on the road and came back in that game to take the lead. When was the last time this team came back from down two scores, two touchdowns, and took the lead in a game? I can't remember that happening in a game in the 18 years since 1999. Just cannot recall that. And to me, the team is playing differently. They're playing hard. They're not quitting. We saw them in three or four ball games that they just as easily could have won as lost. That's there are no moral victories. I get it, in the NFL, and the Patriots exposed them in terms of the gap between the truly elite teams in the NFL and the mediocre to poor ones. But what those previous four games told us was there's a lot of other, and I've said this a million times, that there's a lot of other bad teams in the NFL besides the Cleveland Browns. And the fact that we were in those four games and had a good chance to win two or three of them, shows that point, that there's a lot of mediocrity, and then there's a handful of teams, and clearly the Patriots are one of them, that are just a level above, and we just saw Sunday how big that gap is.
And I will say that, as we wrap this up on the Browns, I will give them that they have definitely shown that they continue to fight. With as bad as things have gone, they have continued to fight. I do wonder if, as the injuries pile up, you need a roster to keep up with the Browns now this quickly. Usually by week 12, 13, 14, it's that point. We're 4 or 5 weeks in, and they're calling names on the broadcast, and I'm going, who the hell is that guy? Where did he come? Mitchell's Friedman. Where did he come from?
There's a lot of those guys on the defensive line, and we're seeing names on the offensive line now that we've never heard of.
Signing
guys each week. Usually that doesn't happen until the long season attrition starts to set in late November or whatever.
We're definitely
getting to that point way too early.
Right. So imagine what it's going to be like in November when we get to the normal point where that happens. We're going to be literally your next door neighbor might be playing cornerback for the Browns by Thanksgiving.
I'm loosening up my arm as we speak.
As we speak. Dan Wismar is getting ready, baby. All right. Talk about getting ready. Let's switch. Talk about the Tribe, because they're getting ready for the Blue Jays and the ALCS, man. Talk to me. Where you at with the Indians? What a series against the Red Sox.
It sure was sweet, Jerry. I was down there on Friday for the 6-0 Kluber game, and you know, it was almost a shame that Kluber was so good. He took the crowd out of it a little bit. It wasn't quite as crazy as it had been Thursday night. I wasn't there Thursday night, but you could just tell how jacked up the crowd was and how exciting the whole building was to think. And it was great Friday night too. Don't get me wrong. The game in Boston. How sweet was that? I mean, I thought it was almost as sweet as when we swept them in 95. You know, that I was at that first game. I still call it one of my great Cleveland sports moments, if not the best. The walk-off Tony Pena homer in the 13th inning at 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning. I remember that like it was yesterday.
That still ranks up. I was there that night, and nothing really quite like it when you win your first playoff game in a half a century or whatever it was. It's special, and that one sticks with me. But this was just about as sweet. Watching the Weiner Pedroia piss and moan about the third strike call in the eighth inning when it was clearly a strike. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure he went back in the clubhouse and looked at that pitch. It was had every bit of the plate and above the knees and was a no doubt strike three and realizes that he was acting like a jerk. It was it's sweet to sweep those guys, especially Boston. It's very satisfying. And now you've got the home field through the World Series if you can deal with it. They're positioned where they need to be, obviously minus starters number two and number three. It's not going to be easy, but they've already silenced a lot of the doubters.
Absolutely. And you know, with these guys, you can shorten them up if you need to. And so far, so good with Josh Tomlin. I love the Cowboy. I still think he's going to come up big in a couple more games for the Indians here in this run.
No doubt he was the MVP that night. Giving you five plus innings with one run, and he was just sharp as a tack, and especially early. I mean, just throwing nothing but strikes and keeping people off balance. He is, as much as anyone, him and Coco Crisp maybe share the co-MVP honors for that game.
And Coco Crisp as well, what a story there, coming back and contributing. I mean, really, and again, I said this earlier, I talked to Bruce, called in. I mean, I made this point earlier, though. Every move that Terry Francona made in that series was gold. He had the Midas touch across the board.
He really did, and it's been that bullpen management. We've talked about that before all year long, where, you know, us armchair managers will sit back and critique this move or that move, and at the end of the day, at the end of the game or the end of the season, we got to say, yep, Terry Francona definitely knows more than we do.
Absolutely.
About baseball, because when you look at it and over the long haul, he was right, we were wrong. Let's own up to it. The guy has, like you say, pushed all the right buttons this year.
All the right buttons, and now here we go. I'm going to pose this question to you. I mentioned earlier the Blue Jays. What do you fear the most about them? I mean, that offense is definitely, to me, very potent. I mean, the Indians' pitching is going to have to be careful, obviously, throughout this series.
Well, I think it may come down to, you know, their starting pitching. You know, as you look at it right now, pretty darn good. They have had bullpen trouble throughout the year. I don't know how they've been, you know, early versus late, or I haven't looked at it that closely, but I know their bullpen has been their weak link, where ours has been a strength. I think you've got to look at relative strength of the starting rotations and maybe give them the edge right now. And certainly in offense, I think you have to give them the edge, certainly power-wise and run production-wise. But, and I'm not even sure, Jerry, as I sit here, what the season record was. I know we had that one great series where we split four games, there were a couple of very, you know, almost all one-run games, if I recall. Very tightly played series, if I recall, over the course of the season. I'm not sure who won the season series. You might have that in front of you. But I think it just promised it to be intense. And you know, someone asked me today, so were you nervous the other night? I said, nervous? I almost had a damn heart attack. The end of that game was bringing back memories of, some of our closers past, from Jose Mesa on up through the Wickmans and Doug Joneses of the world. You know, that just made your heart stop every time out.
You brought up some names there.
Joe Borowski.
Bob Wickman.
Anyway, yeah, that was intense the other night, and right down to the wire. Even when the Travis Shaw swings and puts the ball up in the air, I'm thinking, oh my God. I'm just glad that Poppy didn't get a chance to hurt us, and the Pedroia ended up getting some humble pie at the end too.
Yeah, absolutely. The best final season in pretty offensively anyway in baseball history, but it comes to an end, thankfully, and the Indians take care of business. I was just trying to look this up now. The Indians and the Jays played 7 games this season because of the unbalanced schedule, and the Indians won the season series. Let's see. Tribe won 4-3. Indians took 4 out of the 7. In Toronto, they split the 4 games that they played there. Indians 4-1, 2-1. Then Toronto took the next 2, 9-6 and 17-1. That was that 4th of July series you were talking about. And
yeah,
then,
I guess it wasn't quite as close as I had remembered.
Well, not the last game. 17-1. Toronto just ran away, if you remember that one. And then they had the 3-game series in Cleveland in August. Tribe took 2 out of 3, and they were all 1-run games. Indians 3-2, Blue Jays 6-5, and then Indians 3-2. So that was fantastic. And also remember that game that they lost back in July, that snapped the 14-game winning streak as well. So the Blue Jays were the team that did that. Because of that big lopsided game, the Blue Jays outscored the Indians 38-24 in the series. But if you take that off, all the other games combined, the Indians outscored the Blue Jays by 3 runs in the other 6 games.
Yeah, interesting. So
it's
yeah,
a very
it was,
tight
it was
series.
Very tight.
I mean, very tight.
I'm just glad that we're playing 4 games at
so
home.
Check this out.
Check
this
out.
While you're asking me about weird stats, how about this? This is the 7th time in sports playoff history that the NBA and Major League Baseball have had a crossover in their playoffs where 2 teams from the same city will meet in the playoffs in the same calendar year for each sport. The Indian or the Cavs had to go through Toronto on their way to the championship. This is the 7th time here that this has happened. The last time before this was actually the Indians and New York. It was a season where the Cavs played the Nets in the playoffs and the Indians played the Yankees in the 07 ALDS. That was the last time that it happened. So the Indians were involved in that one as well. Hopefully, much like in 2007, the Indians won both. Hopefully, or the Cleveland team won both. Hopefully that's what can happen here.
Yeah, that's obviously the hope. Yeah, and a 2-3-2 series. You know, I'm going to be out of town all this weekend, so in fact, even tonight. But 3 games next week in Toronto, and you know, if necessary, you know, maybe back down at the ballpark next weekend. I'm assuming it would be Friday, Saturday.
I think
for 6 and 7. Is that right?
I'll tell you. Yeah, what scares me, you were talking about that lineup, is Tomlin. I love Tomlin, but his weakness is the long ball. And I'm just thinking about just the ALDS, not counting the fact that, you know, Toronto kind of went in the tank offensively at the end of the season. They kind of struggled during the final 30, 45 days of the season, but not in that playoff series. They had 8 home runs in that 3-game sweep.
Yeah, they really, and everybody in their lineup up and down can hurt you.
Yeah, they average
they definitely
7.5 runs a game.
The power edge, but yeah, I got to believe that, you know, starting pitching wins. But like I said, with us depleted like we are, you've got to look at their starting pitching, and I don't think you can really honestly say that Cleveland has an edge in starting pitching in this series, and we're going to have to do it with whatever kind of smoke and mirrors Tito's been working with so far, and hope that the home field magic can continue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, man, what a raucous environment it is going to be down there as the Indians are now closer than they've been in a long time to getting back to that elusive World Series. Man, God, Progressive Field is going to be bouncing off the walls, my friend.
Yeah, it's great, and this is the best time of year because we're looking at – and how awesome was it, by the way, that Friday night LeBron's out on the field talking to the crowd, and these guys, these Cavs players, are just like rock stars down there at the ballpark.
Oh yeah,
and they're up in the loge, and they're featuring them on the big screen scoreboard. just, you know, having a big old time up in the Loge. And there was about seven or eight of them, Thompson and Love and LeBron and Trumper were all there. And in the stadium, I mean, Love was down sitting down in some seats down on the third baseline, and people just running down there to take selfies with them and,
you know what,
standing and gawking at them and looking. They are absolute rock stars in Cleveland right now.
Not just rock stars, but that's funny. I'll tell you a quick story. A week and a half ago, Kanye West had a concert here in Cleveland, and a bunch of my friends went to it. And the next day they go, Jerry, do you know how big time, not just big time, but like LeBron James has reached the point in Cleveland where he can go to a concert like that. He was in the mosh pit with everybody. He didn't have his security flanked around him. He was in the mosh pit partying and dancing at a Kanye West concert. And he goes, Jerry, that man was the safest man in the building. After they won that championship, LeBron just walks anywhere he wants. He doesn't have to worry about anything. People will take a bullet now for LeBron James if somebody tries to mess with him in Cleveland. And that was like the sign. He goes, look, man, that guy is down there in this crazy concert. And he's just like, hey, man, I don't need no bodyguards. Nobody's going to mess with me here in Cleveland. So they are
exactly
definitely
right.
Gods and rock stars after that. And that's what they showed at the game. Speaking of at home, real quick, you and I talked about this. You brought this up a lot, how good the Indians were at home. And I was just looking at the splits. The Cubs are the only team that won more games at home than the Indians. The Indians are the second best home team in baseball. Their run differential is plus +105 at home and -4 on the road. And the Blue Jays are actually better on the road than they are at home. Even though they lost three games more on the road, they scored nearly 20 runs more. So home and road doesn't seem to affect them offensively, but the Indians, nearly .655 winning percentage at home this season, second best in baseball. So the fact that they ended up with the home field definitely could play a part in this if it plays out the way the regular season did.
No doubt. And I'm one of those people that thinks that having the All-Star game decide the home field for the World Series is maybe one of the dumbest, things in all of sports. But I'm all for it right about now.
It worked out for us, baby. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And think about it. We're still four wins from it, and I'm not trying to jump over any bridges just yet. But that first day of the World Series / Cavaliers championship presentation, that night is looming. And what a night that could potentially be in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah, it's one of those that you just want to be there even if you don't have a ticket, no doubt.
I'm going. I don't need a ticket. I'm just going to be in the plaza between the two, soaking the whole thing in. You know, that's going to be one heck of a night there for sure.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that stuff. That's why fall is so great. And if we had a team down on the lakefront, it'd be even better. But, you know, we already talked about that.
We have to live vicariously through the Buckeyes. By the way, another one of those crazy polls. Did you see it last week? 63% of the nation thinks that the Buckeyes could beat the Browns if they played. Man, I've never been one to give credence to that. But these Browns, I'm not talking about the main starting roster. I mean the guys that are left, the guys that we don't know their names. This team that's trotting out next week, they may struggle. They'll win because they're bigger and stronger, but they'll struggle against the Buckeyes. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I've never bought into that. You know, it's always, you know, they say, could the NCAA basketball champion beat the worst, beat the Philadelphia 76ers or whatever, the worst NBA team? And the answer is almost always no, hell no, they couldn't. And I would still hold true to that too. The worst NFL team would beat up the national champion in college football. But I think these Buckeyes might, you know, put a good showing together anyway. I think they
I'm
might
just
score
curious.
Some points.
How could the Browns' defensive backs cover those guys? You know what I mean? I mean,
good point. But I think we want to put up with that. Although this weekend does scare me a little bit for the Buckeyes.
Wisconsin,
into that a little bit. I was up there in Madison, Wisconsin, Jerry, in 2010 when the Buckeyes went in number one. And got their butts handed to them up there.
Yep.
Wisconsin ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown, never trailed. They went up 21-0 in the first half. I don't see anything like that that degree happening this weekend, Saturday night. But it's tough to win in Madison. It always is. That was a little bit of an anomaly. Running the opening kickoff back, and then they ran the ball. They had some better running backs then than they have now, but. It's a scary place to play, and it's always tough to come out of there, especially at night. And Madison is just an unbelievable college football town. So be very interesting to see how they do this weekend. I think the line's about 10. That sounds about right to me. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it was a little bit less than that.
Yeah, it's sitting at 10 right now, even. Buckeyes giving up the 10. How surprised are you at that? I mean, the competition level still, but we knew they were going to have a lot of youth, and we talked about the influx of new guys and all of that stuff. Are you surprised that they've played as well? I mean, JT Barrett, 15 touchdowns, 3 picks, great start to the season for him, Heisman talk, all of that stuff. Are you surprised at how they've performed so far?
I can't say I'm really surprised. I still think that there's a very high potential for a stumble along the way because they've got a lot of tough games to go. But I was before the season started, I would have picked Oklahoma to win that game down there in Norman. Just I thought we were going to be a little too green, even though I've said from the start we're green but we're loaded. There's talent everywhere you look, 2-3 deep on that roster, and so I knew they were talented enough to win all their games, to be favored in and to win all their games. And I still believe that. I still kind of don't think they will, just because nobody does. Let's face it, nobody did last year. One team did the year before. I mean, having a zero in the loss column at the end of college football season is something that happens very, very rarely. So it's just the smart bet to say, no, they won't do it either. But it's not because they don't have enough talent to do it. It's the veteran quarterback play is going to be the big driver down the stretch. That's why I think Michigan's going to stumble. So I think that's why Michigan State has stumbled this year. They've got first-year starters playing QB, and that's a recipe for at least a loss or two.
We're going to talk some more about that next week. We'll talk more about the Tribe as well. Dan, all kinds of stuff happening. The Cavaliers are getting ready to tip off this title defense. A couple more, two or three more preseason games, and then they'll get rocking and rolling, man. So much. Such a good time to be a sports fan in Cleveland. It's not always a good time to be a sports fan in Cleveland, but it sure as hell is now, man.
You got that right. It's big fun. I will look forward to catching up with you next week, and we'll do the usual Wednesday meeting.
You got it, my friend. You have a good one, and go Tribe, baby.
Thanks, Jerry. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Dan Wismar. I'm J-Rock Daddy. We're going to call it a day. Short show today, but don't worry. We will be back next week live, same bat time, same bat channel, right here doing the Sports Fix thing. In the meantime, I want to hear from you guys over the next few days. Indians fans, blow up the hotline, 216-539-7535, 216-539-7535. 539-7535. What's going to happen with this Indians series with the Blue Jays? How many games is it going to go? Indians, are they heading to the World Series next, or does it end in Toronto? I want to hear from you. Talk to me about the Browns, the Buckeyes, the Cavaliers, the Monsters. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535. Quick update, by the way, as I look at the Sports Fix Fantasy Football Challenge brought to you by Fantasy Jocks. We are chugging our way. We're nearly halfway through the season. Somebody, J-Rock Daddy, somebody's 5-0 to start the season. I don't know. I'm not trying to brag, but if I was, I'd be telling you that I started 5-0. Anyways, somebody, the winner of this bad boy, is going to pick up this unbelievably awesome championship title belt from our friends at Fantasy Jocks, America's Fantasy Sports Superstore. Visit fantasyjocks.com. They have everything from trophies to draft kits to championship belts and rings. I took the ring home for the runner-up league last year. This year, I'm taking the big gold belt. A lot of people, though, still in the hunt here this season as the Sports Fix Fantasy Football Challenge. Fantasy Football Challenge continues to roll on. BJ Riddell is going to join us next week, a mid-season look at the fantasy football world, who you should pick up, as there's tons of people out there dropping like flies. So BJ's back in the house next week. Fantasy Football for Winners, Dan Wismar, and of course yours truly, J-Rock Daddy. And I want to hear from you. Hit us up on the phones, on the social media. Go Indians, baby, as they start. This weekend is going to be one hell of a time in downtown Cleveland. I hope you're there. If you're not, enjoy it some way possible. Tell me all about it, and then get back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as we join you live at noon across the Sports Fix Radio Network. Go Tribe! We'll see you next week. Until then, have a great time. We love you, Cleveland and beyond, and we'll see you next week, baby, right here on the Sports Fix.
Play for me to spend some time in. Baby, this is Cleveland. It is so much more to us. You can even go to Severance Hall to see an orchestra.
In Cleveland.